very much. Just before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, in particular Jarrod Payton, who conducted the research, and also as well acknowledge the funding of the Irish EPA as well for sending me here. In relation to the treatment of municipal sludge, it's a bit of a contentious issue in Europe and indeed in Ireland. And there's a number of different aspects about it that I'll just touch upon very, very briefly. The first thing is that the sheer volume of it that's actually produced every year in Europe and indeed in the individual countries, it's continuously increasing. You see there that approximately 10 million tonnes, which is the most recent figures, were produced in 2010. So EU legislation has forced those involved in sludge management to try and find alternative uses for sludge. And at the moment, recycling to land is the most economical and beneficial way of sewage sludge management. However, there are certain issues to do with it insofar as that there are many, I suppose, issues to do with the perception that in Ireland at the moment, indeed and elsewhere, that the recycling of treated sludge to land is actually, it's not quite legal, but certainly that any land on which biosolids have been spread, the produce can't actually be certified for export. So it has a financial, I suppose, implication for the export of produce from these types of land. So it's quite a busy issue, I guess. The key thing, I guess, with, as you possibly already know, is that in the case of sewage sludge, it's not just a question of just putting it out on land. It needs to be actually treated prior to actually land application. And there are a whole variety of methods in which it's treated, some of which are actually listed there. There's a number of benefits of recycling of the treated sludge, or biosolids, as it's sometimes referred to, grassland. The first thing is that it's used as a soil conditioner. It improves physical, chemical and biological properties, and also as well may reduce the possibility of soil erosion. And also as well, and perhaps most importantly, it's a cheap alternative to commercial fertiliser. So for the farmers, that its use is potentially actually very, very good, particularly as it's considered to be a waste material. And because it's a waste material, it means that the farmers can actually spread it on the land for practically nothing. It has no cost associated with it versus conventional fertilisers. However, there are a number of drawbacks associated with the recycling of biosolids to land, one of which that I touched upon a few minutes ago, to do with the, if you like, the I suppose the perception and the issues to do with perception. The first thing, I guess, is that with any type of wastewater, when you apply to land, that you have, release of nutrients, potentially metals and sediment. Also as well, and this is something that is coming up more and more in the literature, is about the possibility of the presence of emerging contaminants, such as pharmaceuticals. Also as well, the presence of pathogens, as sterilisation is frequently quite difficult to complete. And finally, that there's also the issue to do with the amount of metals that are actually in the biosolids and the fact that this may actually get into the human chain and accumulation may occur. So there's some serious issues, I guess, associated with it. So with that kind of background, that what we wanted to do in this study was to investigate for really the first time in Ireland the issues associated with the land application of three different types of biosolids, thermally dried, anaerobically digested, and lime stabilised. They'd be the main three forms of treatment that are carried out in Ireland, with arguably lime stabilisation being the most popular, I would say. We wanted to quantify the losses of nutrients following land application and similar related rainfall events, also as well the release of metals, microbes, and finally, two antimicrobial agents, triclosan and triclocarbon. Now, one issue in relation just to the last point there, that I suppose that this presentation, that it's very much, a preliminary kind of investigation of the results that we've had to date. And unfortunately, that the two biocides that we have there, triclosan and triclocarbon, that they're actually still in the lab being tested at the moment. So those results will certainly be very interesting once we get them. But with apologies that we can't actually present those results at this point in time. So what we did in the experiment, and I'll go through the details of in a few minutes, was basically in small micro-scale plot experiments to investigate the runoff of these contaminants under simulated rainfall events at three different time intervals from the application of the biosolids to the land, times in 24 hours, 48 hours, and 360 hours after application on the same plots. And the idea of this was to actually look at, I suppose, the degradation in terms of the nutrients, metals, and microbes over time. In terms of the test itself, that, this is just a very kind of quick schematic, just to give you a feel for how the test itself is set up. We had a small microscale plot, I'll have photos of that in a second, that were isolated using PVC sheeting. We then applied the biosolids to that plot, and then we applied rainfall events to it, or rainfall events in time intervals that we have there to it. And the target intensity in Ireland, this would be a very, very common rainfall intensity of the order of around maybe 10 to 12 millimetres per hour. It really wouldn't be frequently particularly more intense than that. So it's quite different perhaps to other territories. In terms of the application of the biosolids regime, that there's a number of different ways in which it's used. The one that's most commonly used in Europe and certainly in Ireland is where a number of tests are conducted. First of all, on the P content of the land, and also as well on the metal content and the nutrient content of the biosolids, and then looking at which one becomes limiting for a given land type, either the nutrient content or the metal content of the biosolids, then that determines the application rate. So in our particular case, and in the case of certainly a lot of biosolids, that we find that it's mainly the nutrient content that actually limits the application to the land. So for a given soil test P, it means that there will be given land application based on the nutrient content of the biosolids. And the spreading rate was at the rate of about 40 kilograms of phosphorus per hectare. Obviously, that was proportional to the pots that we're dealing with. So this is the site in Chagas Johnstone Castle. Prior to the setting up of the plots literally ran from, if you like, this point of the stream here, at this point of the field, right down to the centre, or to the part of the field that's nearest me there. And we used Amsterdam-type rainfall simulators to apply the rain to it. These are the plots here. Again, you can see that they're very, very small plots. And this is enlargement of one of the plots. You can see there that the plots themselves ran 0.4 metres by 0.9 metres down the slope, and also as well had a collection funnel at the end. So the idea of it was that the rainfall simulator would be placed over every one of the plots after the application of the biosolids. A rainfall event would occur with an intensity of about 11 millimetres per hour. We would have surface runoff development, and then at intervals over a half hour rainfall event, we would take samples progressively over that period of time and then analyse them as well for the various contents that I mentioned there as well. In relation to the experiment as well, an important thing that's not on the slides was that there was a range of different soil textures used, and also it was a randomised block design with 5 replicates per treatment. And so in terms of the, I'll just kind of go back here just momentarily here for the moment in terms of the treatments. So we're looking at thermally dried, anaerobic digestive, lime stabilised, but also as well that we had a grass-only control. So in fact that we had 4 treatments within the experiment at 5 replications. So the location, or how we actually obtained the biosolids initially, that there's always concern, I guess, about the source of the biosolids, so it was very, very important to us to actually use the same source for the biosolids. We chose the wastewater treatment plant in Ireland for a very particular reason, insofar as that it had persistent events of pharmaceuticals that were present in the treated sludge from that wastewater treatment plant. The advantage as well of using this particular wastewater treatment plant was that I had 2 different types of treatment in it, anaerobic digestion and also thermal drying. And we then also used the same sludge samples, the untreated sludge samples, to actually create lime-stabilised sludge as well. But of course the issue is that we were just using one source, but how does it replicate other wastewater treatment plant sludges in the country? Well, on the basis of 16 wastewater treatment plants in Ireland, that we looked primarily at the metals that are of note in terms of the legislative metals. You see them down there at the base, nickel, copper, zinc, etc. And we compared them against, instances of thermal drying, that's TG, lime stabilisation, and that's LS, and AG anaerobic digestion. We wanted to see about how our samples actually compared against, if you like, the national picture, I guess. In the case of most of our samples, the thermal dried samples from this particular wastewater treatment plant, it was certainly very similar, with the exception of cadmium, to the other wastewater treatment plants in the country. It's granted 16 wastewater treatment plants. In total, there are about 154 wastewater treatment plants in the country, but certainly of the 16, it was quite similar. In the case of the lime stabilised biosolids, it was quite similar again to other treatment plants, with the exception of the cadmium. And indeed, finally, in the case of the anaerobic digestive biosolids, it was also relatively similar as well. So that was the characterization of the biosolids. But what were the results? Well, in this case, again, referring just to the use of the different symbols or the different acronyms that I use, TG is thermally dried biosolids, LS on the next line is lime stabilized biosolids, AG is anaerobic digested, and over there on the x-axis you can see soil. And also as well, you notice on the top right-hand corner of the screen, we have the different symbols for 24-hour rainfall event, 48-hour rainfall event, and also as well 360 rainfall event. And you can see that in all cases, in the case of the total phosphorus, that there was a reduction over the three rainfall events from the 24 to the 48 to 360. But in all cases, you can see though that the dissolved reactive phosphorus was certainly over the limit above which eutrophication will occur, which is 30 microgram per litre, 0.03 milligram per litre. And also as well, you can also see how they actually kind of varied with respect to soil loaning. In relation to the total nitrogen, we also had the same type of picture again. Again, the trend, generally speaking, was downwards over time. But the crucial thing, though, just to bear in mind about these figures, particularly for the phosphorus and indeed for the nitrogen as well, is that relative to a conventional organic fertilizer, conventional manure, the amounts of nitrogen, the amount of phosphorus that are coming off, it's actually very, very small in relation to different types of pig slurry, dairy cattle slurry, dairy soil to water, that we're talking at a very, very, very low level with respect to those concentrations. In relation to the metals, in all cases that the runoff was in excess of the drinking water limit. However, the one issue, I suppose, or the one kind of thing just to mention about this is that the drinking water limit is actually a very, very kind of small concentration. So, again, most conventional fertilisers would also be in excess of the drinking water limits, which kind of gives us certainly a little bit of a scale just on which to actually base the measurements that we actually got. In relation to the total fecal coliforms, again, you see the values there, but again, it is about two orders less than the type of runoff that you would actually see following the land application of different types of slurries as well. The other thing as well, just in relation to these figures, is that it's very much a worst-case scenario, because in most cases that whenever a farmer land applies any type of wastewater, and including biosolids as well, there's usually a buffer zone between the location on the field where they actually apply it and the stream or whatever is nearby. In this particular case, we're looking very much at a worst case scenario. In other words, we applied the biosolids to the plot and then we actually measured the effluent immediately coming off that plot. There was no buffer zone or anything like that at all, so it's very much a worst case scenario. So it means in effect really that on the basis of the results that we've got so far, that it's really quite good. It's quite a good picture, I guess. Now, the one issue, which is an important caveat, I'll possibly work on my conclusions from the base or from the bottom up, I guess, but the caveat, of course, is the pharmaceutical results, that we have not got those yet. They will absolutely prove decisive in terms of whether there are issues or not associated with the spreading of the pharmaceuticals. However, in relation to, I suppose, the microspot experiments, that while we do have relatively high amounts of nitrogen, phosphorus, metals, coliforms coming off from the plots, as we say there, and as I said before, it's very much a worst-case scenario in terms of the types of concentrations that we have coming off. And also as well, and this is the crucial point, I guess, that the losses are very, very low in comparison to organic fertilizer applications. So thank you very much.